on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It is June 16th, 2012. This is the 112th U.S. Open. They're at Olympic Club, and we'll be talking with Doug Ferguson, golf writer, Associated Press, and Ron Cyrak, executive editor of Golf World. First, let's take care of our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And we're currently running a Father's Day special at Poipu Golf Course for the Father's Day out there. The person that you want to take care of is 30% off all the regular priced men's apparel through Sunday, tomorrow. So you got to get over there and take care of Dad. All right? All right. It's at Poipu Bay. Well, let's get right to Tiger Woods on what he's looking for today. He was speaking after finishing yesterday's round. Was day two faster?
Oh, he played absolutely a lot faster. And tomorrow's supposed to be the hottest day. I think it's supposed to be near 80. And depends on whether Mike and his staff put a little water on this golf course, whether, you know, how it's going to, you know, play. You know, we're also going off a little bit later, too, tomorrow as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up the golf course. Because the dots, they don't put any dots out there, so we don't know where the pins are. So it'll be interesting to see how, if they make it, you know, scoreable, or they're going to, you know, really test us.
Doug Ferguson, golf writer for Associated Press, and Ron Cyrak, executive editor, Golf World. What do you think? Are they going to make it a test or make it scoreable today? You want to go first, Doug?
No, because Ron's older than me.
Okay, Ron, go ahead.
Sorry, Ron's more experienced than me.
Oh, there you
go. We're not live, are we?
Yeah, we're live. Good morning.
I thought Doug only knows, and apparently I didn't go far enough. looking at the pin sheets and where the hole locations are today, they're not going to make anything any easier. We got one under par lead in the golf tournament now, and I don't expect anybody to be under par at the end of Sunday.
Okay, for the guy in the Aloha shirt, Doug.
Oh, I think it'll be a walk in the park. You know, everyone talks about how, after what Rory, you know, he decimated Congressional last year, how it was going to be payback time. But the glory of Olympic Club is that they don't have to do much to make it look like a U.S. Open. So, you know, to Ron's point, even if they set the pins relatively moderate, which they didn't, it's still going to be a hard. And, you know, the one thing that guys have agreed on all week, all the players, is that even par is going to be a decent score. And I think that's what we're going to see today. I love what Joe Ogilvy said at the, you know, he teed off early Thursday morning. He made a birdie on his first hole, and he turned to his caddy and he said, 71 more pars and we're hoisting the trophy. So I think they're onto something.
In Golf World, final say, I think it was, didn't Jeff Ogilvy say something like, let's see, I didn't do anything special. I was just the one guy who wasn't going backwards fast.
Yeah.
Something like that, Ron?
It was. And that is what, you know, that is what happens here. You know, I think that we got to look at, you look at where there's a bunch of players at 3-4 over par right now who are very, very much in this golf tournament. Some really good names that are back there, like Duffner and Kuchar and Ernie Els and Garcia and Rose. And if somebody goes out and shoots 68 today, they're going to pick up a lot of ground. You know, I look at the leaderboard right now, and I look at all the names that are up there, and the only person who I have a whole lot of confidence in not going backwards is Tiger Woods, and I'm not even have a overwhelming confidence about him. I think that we're going to be really, really bunched up going into tomorrow.
I was so impressed with a 17-year-old Bo Hosler. I mean, taking over the lead yesterday, that was amazing. He didn't hold on to it, but he's 17. But it certainly would have been, I think somebody said something on Twitter about, wouldn't it be something if, you know, if Bo won and he was presented the Jack Nicklaus Gold U.S. Open medal. Did anybody see this coming, such a young man being so strong?
The thing that was so impressive about him is the fact, not that he made it through, you know, as a high school kid, that he made it through local and sectional qualifying, but that he did it 2 years in a row. So obviously he's got something upstairs. I mean, all these young kids have a very, you know, nice polished game. But there's something he's got a little bit extra up there that allows him to do something like that. And then when he gets here, to perform the way he did. I mean, you could see his emotions going up and the excitement kick in, but he's also got an awareness, too, that, you know, we're still not even halfway there yet, and just because you're on the leaderboard now, you know, what do they say, the worst is yet to come?
Yeah, right.
That kind of thing.
What was impressive about him yesterday is he hit the ball into some really dreadful places and was leaking oil badly and still managed to make it be not that bad, you know, that he was able to contain the damage. Really did show a lot of maturity and emotional sophistication.
Yeah, and he was also stubborn in his decision making. Didn't his godfather say something like, "You're not going to do that shot, are you?" And he goes ahead and does it anyway.
Yeah, it's all about belief. You know, if you believe in the shot you're going to hit, you're halfway there.
So there are three amateurs who have made the cut. Patrick Cantlay, he's yesterday's news, right? Then that sounds so terrible. And Hunter Hamrick. I mean, what a roller coaster he's been on. He loses to Texas, Alabama, his team. Then he goes and he wins. He qualifies, I should say, sectional qualifying. And now he's made the cut in the U.S. Open. Amazing stuff. Really, really great. Okay.
You know, and I'll let Doug talk after this. But one of the things we got to, and without misinterpreting this phrase, and some will, we've got a generation of Tiger babies out there right now. You know, which are these kids who were had spent their entire life with him as their role model, and have learned their belief system from him. And I think in addition to attracting a better quality of athlete to the game, Tiger has really raised the bar in terms of belief systems for young players, because they watched him perform magic and they grew up thinking that kind of magic is possible.
Okay, that's it. And I want to go to McIlroy after this. But one thing that Tiger Woods said during the pressers before anything started was, well, he talked about video technology and all of the kids that are coming on so strong, and they in Korea, they work indoors for 6 months, and they stripe this stroke, and they've got it all together. But when you go to the course and you have to actually implement and play the game on a course, on a terrain, you have no idea what your stance is going to be. That changes. You can't send a bunch of robots out and play this game. There's got to be some mental acuity going on inside. I thought that was interesting. I don't think these children that are so great are necessarily going to hold up. And McIlroy is kind of interesting. We all said that he was going to be the next Tiger Woods. Look what he did at Congressional, and he's so fabulous, and he's so cool, and he's so this. And then, I mean, it's bound to happen. I feel bad for him. I didn't like that everybody put a crown on top of his head. He hadn't proved anything yet. Do you think his game's going to come back around? And Doug?
I think it will. I watched him at Memorial quite a bit when he was in the middle of missing those three cuts in a row, and I wasn't overly alarmed. He kind of hit a bad patch. And I think when you look at McIlroy, I mean, it's very easy to single him out here because he is the defending champion, because he was kind of anointed, had that terrific score, got to number one this year. You know, all these, and he's got just the most unbelievable raw talent that we see out here, and so all these things lead into higher expectations. But it just doesn't take much to get a little bit sideways. And when you get a little bit sideways, you go downhill quickly. You can also look at Luke Donald right there with him, who was, won at Wentworth 3 years ago. So I guess my point is there, Danielle, it's not like Rory's the only guy, the only big star who missed the cut. I don't count Bubba, because Bubba's kind of in his own stratosphere anyway. But Dustin Johnson won last week and has been playing nicely for, you know, since he came back. And he got it going the wrong way. There's a ton of guys like that. So it's alarming to look back and see that he's missed, you know, four of his last five cuts. But I, you know, just like you said, it was probably a little bit premature to anoint him the next young Tom Morris. It's probably a little premature to say that he's done too. I think we just need to step back, and he needs to step back, and he'll find it. I think if there's one thing that would alarm me though is that since congressional, he's missed a cut, and he hasn't even cracked the very definition of contention in the other three majors. And I would also go back to Royal St. George's last year when it was very peculiar how he said he prefers in America where the you know, where it's nice and quiet and the wind doesn't blow. And you know, here's a kid who grew up in Northern Ireland, for crying out loud. So what is he like, the U.S. Open where it rains all week? These are the things he's got to sort out.
Yeah.
Ron?
Yeah, you know, I Doug made a really, really good point the other day when we were talking, when he said, we keep talking about the next Tiger, the next Tiger, the next Tiger, and really the only people Tiger should be compared to are people from the past, like Jack Nicklaus and like Ben Hogan. And there's nobody around. I don't want to hear any talk about the next Tiger until you can show me somebody who's won 30 times with seven majors or something. Tiger just established a standard that is that's outside of our experience ever. And I think that Rory is an enormously talented player. I think he's going to find that form again. What surprised me the most is, in addition to loving his game, I thought his head was screwed on right. And after he won a congressional, and let's remember, he played very well the rest of the year. He won a couple of times after he won a congressional, won twice in Asia. He was off to a very, very good start this year with a lot of top fives in a victory. And then he just gets this recent bad patch. And again, we never saw, Tiger never had a bad patch like this. He never struggled until very, very recently, until since 2010. But he didn't have to go through this. This might be a good thing for Rory to learn how to deal with adversity early in his career and use this somehow, not as a stumbling block, but as a stepping stone to something else.
All right. I'd like to go to Sergio Garcia. And there's just so much to talk about, but I just was stunned. And the first thing that came to my mind, does he have to pay for that microphone that he smashed? What's up with Sergio? Okay, if you didn't have a chance to see this, he apparently got very, I mean, okay, Casey Martin said the conditions are hard and frustrating, and it felt like war. Okay, fine. But I didn't see anybody else taking out a club and smashing something on the course. Does Sergio Garcia have to pay for damage like that to something? Anybody know?
He'd probably get fined then, which we never get told about this stuff. I'm not sure. It's not the first time I've seen that. Henrik Stenson at Carnoustie one year. I'm probably missing two or three guys that I just can't think of off the top of my head. But I think it speaks to, you know, a greater picture than Sergio. And damage-wise, Danielle, I hate to pick on Henrik, but that was a much bigger T-box marker that was nicely crafted together that was just smashed to smithereens. Welcome to Carnoustie. So, you know, it's not the first time I've seen that, but I think it does speak more to Sergio. I mean, we were kind of making fun of him as we watched him yesterday morning. But anytime anyone else made a putt, you just get a sense of Sergio saying, why them? Why is it always them? It's never me. I will never win a major. I am jinxed. I am doomed. I'm exaggerating just a little bit, but
No. Yeah, I got it. Yes.
But you know, you kind of get a sense that you contrast that to David Toms, who you know just at least for this week, and Tiger's done it his whole career that you know they just learn how to take the bad and move on because it's the U.S. Open or it's you know in Henrik's case and I've just brought his name up again, you know it's Carnoustie or something like that. You're going to get in some really tough spots in some of these majors and you just have to learn to relax.
Yeah, you truly. And Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor, when you were watching Sergio and all the things that are going on there, what were your thoughts on him and talking himself out of the tournament, so to speak? I think you brought that up about Phil and Phil Mickelson at one point, and Bubba Watson saying something like, I'm not good enough for this course. Is that what you meant by talking himself out of a tournament?
Yeah, you know, Sergio's not so much talked himself out of a tournament. He's almost talked himself out of a career. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, he's Earl Woods taught Tiger the 10-second anger rule. You know, you're allowed to be angry for 10 seconds, then you got to let it go, which is why we would see Tiger yell things out and swear sometimes and maybe bang a club, but then it's gone. And Sergio never lets go of it. He just carries it with him. You know, you took the blood pressure of Jason Duffner and Matt Kuchar and added them together, you'd have one Sergio Garcia. You know, he's just sort of, he's as tightly wound as anybody I've ever seen out there. And you can't win that way. You got to be able, Annika Sorenstam dealt with it by never losing her composure. Tagger dealt with it by losing his composure for a very short period of time. But the common thread between Annika and Tagger is then that bad shot was behind them. They let it go. They never thought about it again. You listen to Sergio Garcia talk. The guy's never gotten a good bounce in his life, ever. You know, I mean, he truly sees the world in conspiratorial terms, and that everybody's out here just to ruin his day.
Yes, we're going to get you, Sergio. Just wait. We're working really hard at it. Are you staying with Matt Kuchar as your pick, Ron?
Well, he was my pick coming in, and I don't have any reason to back off that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still got a chance. Tiger Woods is driving the golf ball brilliantly right now. He's positioning it off the tee. I thought his Thursday round should have been a 66 with the position that he left his ball in. I don't think his iron play, particularly from 150 yards in, and we saw that wedge shot on 18 yesterday, his iron play from 150 yards in is still not what it used to be. And I still have some questions about his putter. But a lot's going to be decided by Tiger Woods today. If he shoots a 72 or a 73, a lot of people are going to be in this golf tournament going into Sunday.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the last nine on Sunday. I'm just worried about whether he can hold up. Tiger Woods can hold it up at the end. He could be in contention. I don't know whether he's got that still. Doug, who's your pick?
Well, what I usually do, Danielle, is pick about 30 guys and hope I get lucky. So I had Jim Furyk in my written word capsules. I picked Luke Donald in my pool. I did something with a Memphis radio station in which I wisely picked Francesco Molinari. I tell you what, just to be different, I'm going to throw another one out there in which I can fail miserably. I'm going to go with Hunter Mahan.
Oh, sure. But why not Jim Furyk, Mr. Five-Hour Energy?
I just tried to be different.
Okay.
I think the thing that strikes me, and this is just a personal experience, but, man, it would be really cool to see David Toms, hang on at this stage in his career, but mostly just because we had the occasion to walk with Carter, his son, at the Players last year. This kid's a blast. He knows LSU's football three deep roster card. He loves golf. He's a great kid. And then David goes on. He's about to win the tournament, and he misses that little three footer on the 17th to lose. And I'll never forget that picture they had on TV of the kid just sobbing in his mother's arms over David losing.
He's
been playing golf all week, or last week, before the tournament started. He's out here walking his dad. I just think it'd be exceptionally cool.
Yes, it would.
I'm going to stick with Tiger.
Okay, you're going to stick. Just through me. Okay, all right, wait a minute. Now, David Toms, though, isn't it? I'm glad you brought him up because he's multitasking. I thought it was so cute yesterday when he said, well, you know what was really important to me was that I make a good impression on Davis Love III, the writer. Yeah, right? I mean, that's what he wants to get out of this. That's wonderful. I'd like to ask you, let's go to Ron, about the cut that was changed. Wasn't there a 10-stroke difference between the best score and anybody within 10 would make the cut, and that's been changed? So Bubba Watson, for instance, doesn't get to play today. Not that he seemed to want to, but, Ron, what's up with the change in the rule?
Yeah, the 10-stroke rule was, it used to be anybody within 10 shots of the lead made the cut, so that would have added one more stroke onto the cut this year. It would have gone to +9. That would have let 22 more players into the field. I think it's a good rule change because there aren't too many times when somebody who's 10 shots back in a U.S. Open comes back and wins the tournament or is even a factor on Sunday. And it just makes the logistics of handling the rest of the weekend a whole lot easier. I was at Oakland Hills in 1996, and I think, Doug, was there 107 players we had make the cut?
Yeah, 108. Uh-huh.
108 make the cut. You know, that's just a nightmare to have to deal with. And maybe I'm speaking selfishly as a media person. You know, I want every tournament to have 12 people in the field. So life's a lot easier that way for it. But You know, the strangest thing about the rule change is that the USGA didn't bother to tell the media that they had changed the rule, and we sort of had to figure it out during the course of the week, and that was odd. But, you know, for the players, I think that there's 22 guys who would have, you know, who lost the money because they would have been playing the weekend, and they would have been picking up a check, and that's not going to happen for them. But for the overall running of the tournament, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to, Danielle, I want to add on that. I was just kind of curious about it this morning. I went back and looked. Now, here's what, I think the policy is a good one, to be honest with you. Top 60 is good. And if you go back and look from that infamous day at Oakland Hills, in the last 16 U.S. Opens, the 10-shot rule was only needed 4 times, not counting this year.
Oh.
But so half the time, you know, the only time you really need it is when it you know, it's a place like, you know, Pinehurst. Was another one with Southern Hills where it just gets really bunched. No one can break away and get to like 4 under.
Yeah.
And then you got a billion people out there.
Yeah.
So it's probably fine the way it is. You can almost morph this into the way it was on tour back before they had the all-exempt tour. You know, those guys had to bust their hump just to finish in the top 60, I think it was, to keep your card. And that's kind of what the U.S. Open is telling you. Yeah, we'll let 156 of you guys play. But you better get within the top 50 or 60, or you only get to play 2 rounds.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think it's smart. I like it. I like it much better that way. I also enjoyed listening to Jack Nicklaus. He was with the media when he was told that he was going to is it a room? I felt like saying a wing on the museum. The USGA Museum is going to expand by a wing for Jack Nicklaus. Then, of course, they're also making it the Jack Nicklaus U.S. Open medal, a gold medal that the person gets to take home with them. And the movie we'll be seeing on NBC tomorrow, I think, or on some channel, whoever's broadcasting the final round. What station is that going to be on the movie? Jack's first major. Can't remember which
NBC.
One. Thank you very much. It is NBC. Okay. He was talking about, and Ian Poulter got very angry about being put on the clock yesterday. And Jack is talking about how in the old days, the USGA used to follow them around with stopwatches and say, you know, you've worked 3 seconds too long on that stroke. I thought that was great. Very funny. But Jack said that they called them the Gestapo. Was that it?
Yeah, you know, and he pointed out to, and remember, Jack was a very, very slow player and who became not a quick player, but a less slow player throughout his career. He also pointed out that back in the day when he was out there, that they'd play 4 hour rounds in the U.S. Open, you know, and which is a lot quicker than they're getting around now. And I think the broader point that Jack makes is that he thinks that part of the reason that pace of play has slowed down so much is that the players' minds are cluttered with overly programmed instruction, and that they're playing less as field players. And, you know, Jack will tell you that his coach, Jack Rouse, never went on the range with him during competition. You know, there was nothing to learn. As you know, my friend Theo Nielsen refers to that as cramming for an exam. If you think you're going to learn something on the range right before you tee off, that he was of that opinion that what you were doing on the range before you played was just getting loose and establishing a little bit of feel. And I think Jack was really speaking to that broader question of overly programmed players out there.
Doug?
What?
Any thoughts on that? The pace of play, Ian Poulter getting angry, stomping around, having a European rules official have to walk over and go, settle down, guy.
And I was standing right there. I never laughed so hard in my life. Stricker was there. I mean, Stricker wasn't thrilled about it either. But there was nothing that made me laugh harder than hearing Andy McPhee say, calm down.
Calm down.
And the brilliant thing is, you know, I'm thinking, way to go, Poulter. Now you're so wound up, you know, and then he turns out hitting a great shot. I think he just needed to vent.
Yeah, he got it out, just like Tiger gets to, right? I mean, like just, Ron was saying earlier, that Tiger got to slam that, like, got it, gone. All right, next. Good. Thank you so much, Ron Cyrak, executive editor at Golf World. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, and I thank you for being here. Doug Ferguson in an Aloha shirt. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Associated Press golf writer. got to get you, you know, settled down in Connecticut someplace, you know, so that you're not having to travel all the time. Right, Ron? You don't have to run around anymore. You're, like, settled in with one publication.
Connecticut would be having Doug a little bit too close. I like him in Florida.
You guys in Hawaii make fun of places like Connecticut all the time, don't you?
No. I'm not making fun. I think it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I've never been there.
Gorgeous.
So, well, it looks pretty. Okay. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. We've got a couple of very interesting gentlemen joining us. First of all, you probably know Jerry King. Jerry King is one of the most excellent teachers in the state of Hawaii. He's also TaylorMade's rep, and he's doing a demo day at a really special family day at the Mililani Golf Club. You need to go out there. I think the first 250 people get free hot dogs, free popcorn, and free cotton candy. Now, I think it's fabulous that at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get free cotton candy. Maybe you shouldn't give that to the kids. Make them eat the hot dog first. But joining me on the show, in the clubhouse. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Danielle. How you doing?
Awesome. Excellent. Excellent. This is an amazing U.S. Open weekend. We've also got the Manoa Cup going on. So it's just a lot of golf, great golf. And also in the clubhouse, I want to introduce you to a gentleman, Joel Stewart. He's a 20-year member of Olympic Club. And he also works with Golf Digest to determine the best golf courses in the country and then state by state as well. Joel Stewart, welcome to the show.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk with Jerry quickly about his demo day. Not quickly. We're going to mention it several times this morning because it's a special day. It's Father's Day weekend, and so much is going. Aren't there clinics going on, too, to take the kids to, get them into the game, and maybe take Dad out to play around today?
That's exactly right, because, you know, these kids, I mean, they're our future of the game, and, you know, we've got a lot of fun activities and free instruction for the kids. And like you said, cotton candy flowing early. We're going to give them the sugar rush early. So beware to the guy in the snag golf outfit, you know.
Yes, he's going to be sticky.
That's right. Exactly. He's going to be really sticky.
Now, Joel Stewart, we're watching this U.S. Open. Jerry, of course, as well, because, you know, you can't help but see it everywhere. Fabulous golf is played. Brutal golf is played. It's like war, says Casey Martin. It was so exciting to see him play. Now, as a former member of Olympic Club, What did you think of what they've done, taking out the trees, changing the greens, and just really making that golf course look different?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this has been a really a 7 or 8 year process to make this course ready for today, for this week. So, I mean, it's, you know, the course should be shining. It's basically perfect, but it's taken an unbelievable amount of money and time and effort by a lot of people to get it in this condition. And now a lot of that was maintenance that had been deferred, and they finally got it ready. And of course, I don't know if you remember, we held the U.S. Amateur about 4 or 5 years ago, and right before that, the U.S. Junior Amateur. So it's been a long, long process to get a course ready for the U.S. Open. And I mean, it's an amazing process.
What do the members do when they have no golf course to play on?
Well, we have two courses there. We have the lake course and we have the ocean course also.
So you're stuck on the ocean.
It's not so bad being stuck on the ocean, let me tell you that. So, yeah, so that's a pretty good golf course. And then we also actually have one of the most incredible par 3 courses in the country there, too. It's called the Cliffs course, and it's a little portion where the ocean course used to be located at, right on the ocean, and it's right on the cliffs, and it's just a fabulous par 3 course.
Now, I know the USGA sets up courses to make it feel like the contender, who is the individual player going up against the golf course. That's really what golf is all about, right? They make it so that it feels like war. You're going into battle because it is the U.S. Open, and only the top player at that week is going to be the winner. He's going to have to prove that he's that good. But what do you guys do when, I mean, is it playable for members after this?
Olympic is a very hard golf course day in and day out for the members. I mean, even if they were to move these pros up to the forward tees, it's a very hard golf course. It's brutal. And, what the USGA does, I heard a guy call it yesterday, the USGA comes in and they're a molester of classic golf courses. And, you know, they've pretty much taken over for the last couple of months in terms of all the conditioning. And the superintendent and his staff basically just kind of do what they're told. You know, this guy, Mike Davis, he's a pretty, pretty smart guy in terms of how he wants to set up golf courses. He's brilliant, really. And so it's a very different setup than what we have on a daily basis at Olympic. But Olympic is normally the superintendent there who I have issues with, but the course is just bathed in rough. And with the way the USGA has come up, they've cut these big chipping areas and these closely mown areas in certain areas that feed the ball into the trees and, you know, into certain hazards. And so it's quite a bit of different setup that we have the way the members play it, but it's still a very, very hard golf course.
And Jerry, anytime you want to ask a question, feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I was going to jump in. And Joel, I have to ask you, I mean, you know, it playing different from when the members are on it versus when you've got the U.S. Open out there. I mean, don't the greens usually run between 12 and 13 and they've actually slowed them down a little bit for
no.
the tournament?
No, well, you know, as you probably have heard, you know, we had the Poana greens and then we had this for, you know, 80 years and we had this nematode problem. Which
right.
is this fungus in them. And so it was actually in 2009, 2010, we replaced them. And
wasn't there a problem with the roundworms too, I guess? Big problem.
Well, that's what the nematode is.
It's a little worm.
So anyway, so we replaced them and we sodded them. Now, since then, when you sod, you know, we bought this grass from this farm down in San Diego and you bring in this big sod and they roll them out. They've been hard as rocks since then. So there's a big difference. We're getting a little technical here between seeding the greens and letting them grow in naturally and sodding them. So anyway, I mean, they have been very, very hard and very, very fast, you know, since 2010 when we did that. So it's
U.S. Open, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the greens are just about perfect. I mean, so these are bent greens, and you know, we'll see. It's funny. I played the San Francisco Golf Club a couple days ago, and they seeded their greens about 10 years ago, and, you know, the Poana is finally coming back. And those greens, it took them 10 years. They kind of fought it and fought it and fought it. Now they've given up. And I suspect that Olympic, too, within 5, 6, 7 years from now, the Poana seeds are just too powerful, and the greens will probably revert back to Poana green at some point.
Truly? You're serious?
Oh, it's unbeatable. You can't fight Poana. It's like you cannot win that. It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're sitting there, you know, cleaning every single person's shoes that comes out and plays the golf course, you know, so they're not transporting it. But it'll overtake Spent very easy. So yeah, you're right, Bill.
Yeah, it might take, like I said, a San Francisco Golf Club. It took 10 years, and so I suspect maybe the next time the U.S. Open rolls around at Olympic, those greens might come back. Although they have this theory too at Olympic that, because they sodded him, if they want to, they can just roll that sod up again, and then they can roll down new sod.
Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. Open comes back in 15 years from now that they'll roll those greens up and roll down new grass.
Yeah, so, like carpeting.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now, you were talking to me just a bit about the classic courses that you can either do a restoration on or a renovation. And I like classic courses. I'm not that keen on the modern course.
Right.
And you also referenced the Seth Rayner course here in Hawaii, the Waialae.
Yeah.
That they're going to modernize rather than restore, or what would you suggest being done to Waialae?
I think that they should bring in an architect, and there are maybe 10 of these guys in the United States that are restoration experts. A lot of these people just think an architect is an architect, and it's not really true in golf architecture. And I think at Waialae they need to bring in a real classic restoration expert and restore the bunkering to the way that Rayner wanted it. Now, because that course has been so maligned over the years, of course, where the hotel was at, that's where part of the Rayner golf course was at previously. And, you know, it's been altered just throughout the years. But I would like to see I think it would be a great example of bringing back some really interesting bunkering. And because what they have there now, and it's the same at Olympic Club, if you look closely at the bunkers, they're just ovals and circles, and they have no character to them. And if you look at the original Rayner plans for Waialae, as well as at Olympic Club here, that they, they had these beautiful curves and I don't want to call it, like a frilly edge and stuff. And they were just really, really beautiful bunker. He has a lot of character to him, a lot of charm to him. And now they're just eye candy. They're just white ovals and circles.
Interesting. So. Yeah. I hear him. Jerry?
It's interesting with Waialae. I mean, it's such a beautiful golf course, and, the greens are fantastic. So I agree with Joel. If they did some unique work with the bunkering, and that would definitely make it better. But they've made great adjustments over the years to Waialae, and they've lengthened it, and they've added tees, and right now they're working on a brand new short game training area, which it has a fantastic design for the members, and so that's going to help it out. But I don't know, I'm one of those. I love the golf course, and I wouldn't like to see it change too much, because I think they've got it to a good point where it is right now.
When was the last time you were here, Joel?
Oh, I was in Kauai last summer, but I have not been on Oahu for probably 3 or 4 years, and I haven't played Waialae in probably, 9 years or so. So.
Oh, but relatively recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, with Golf Digest, you help with the rankings.
Yeah, there's a couple hundred of us, and we go around the country playing these courses. And, of course, we have the top 100 in the United States, which is what we're known for, but we also have the top 75 best resorts, and we have the best public courses, and then we have the best in state as well. And so, it's well-known there. I mean, you guys have some really, really great golf courses there. And in terms of the best 75 best resorts, number 6 is Hualalai, number 7 is Kapalua. That's pretty heady company there, because you've got Banda Dunes number 1 and Pebble Beach number 2, and you've got Mauna Kea as number 26, and that course is questionable in my mind what Reese Jones have done there. But, you've got the Princeville is number 20, and Hawaii is really well representative of the top 75 best golf resorts in the country.
Yeah. Now, when you said to Golf Digest rankings and Mauna Kea dropping out, why did that happen?
In my opinion, and I have played it, is that that golf course is a very difficult piece of property. And I think when they brought Reese Jones in to really update his father's golf course, Reese made it, this is one of these architects, like I mentioned earlier, who's a modern architect dealing with not technically a classic course, but it's an older golf course. Reese is not really a restoration expert, and you've heard Phil Mickelson being very, very critical of Reese Jones. But Reese made it long and hard, and basically it's no fun. And that's a big thing. And, you know, hey, we're human as panelists, and we go out there and, you know, we're going to shoot 100 and have the ball in the rough. And, you know, I mean, we grade on certain things like shot values and resistance to scoring and design variety and memorability. These are some of the things that we have. But I think Reese really, for a resort golf course, I think Reese really did a very poor job at Mauna Kea. And it's not a lot of fun, and the shot values just aren't really there, except for, of course, the third hole. And I don't know.
Sounds like you went out there and it beat you up a little bit, Joel.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. And so,
That's interesting to hear you describe all the different things that you take into account when you rate the course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we also look at ambiance, which it rates very high on. It is a memorable course. I mean, we do look at conditioning, too. And the last time I played Mauna Kea, actually, it was not in very good condition. So, are certain things. And in terms of design variety, just what Jerry's talking about there, it's long and it's hard, and it seems very, very mundane, very monotonous out there to play at Mauna Kea. So, I don't know. They need to take a closer look at their rough lines, too. I just think the fairways are a little too narrow there. And so anyway, just my personal opinion there, and I'm only one vote of a couple hundred. So,
but still, you're a vote.
Exactly.
Right, and there's a lot of people that want your job there, Joel. So just travel around and play all these great golf courses.
Yeah, it's fun. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Why not me? Yes.
So, you're Joel, in, Danielle.
I want to go. Okay, Joel Stewart, a real pleasure meeting you. Thanks so much for being on the show and talking with us, sharing your insight. It's a real pleasure to meet you. We'll do this again.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Jerry King's going to stay with us. We're going to meet a gentleman who wrote Jack Fleck's book. It's a very interesting story. You know, he beat Ben Hogan. But when they left the course, I mean, he was still playing. And they said that Ben Hogan had beat him. Huh. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Rim Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. We're talking with Jerry King, and he'll be out at the... It's a beautiful course. If you haven't played over at Mililani, you really need to get out there. They're having a special event today, celebrating Father's Day, celebrating family, and celebrating golf all together. It's Family Golf Day at Mililani, and that means that everybody in the equipment business is going to be there. They're going to have a sample sale. They're going to have clinics. They're going to get kids into the game. They're going to have free hot dogs. There's a wonderful restaurant at Mililani Golf Club that you should check out too. Just go up there and have a wonderful day. What time does everything get underway?
It's 9 a.m. from 9 to 2.
And you're going to set up still, and I'm keeping you on the radio.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. We're efficient. I mean, it's not our first rodeo. We know how to get out here and get it done and start getting people swinging the latest and greatest.
You've got another demo day today, don't you? TaylorMade is going to be out at Hawakalei.
That's right, Hawakalei. So I flew Ross Mizutani from the Nea Golf Club over from the Big Island, and he's hosting a good event with their, I think it's their member guest event. So
yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes, it is a private event. But just a reminder, in case you're over there on the Big Island listening and you forgot, go on over and have some good times like they're going to have today over at Mililani. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Neil Sagabelle. Is he on with us already? Oh, great. Okay, Neil, let's get you in. But before we do, I just wanted to, you know, everybody, this is the U.S. Open weekend. It's Saturday. It's moving day. So Tiger Woods, who shares the lead right now with Jim Furyk and David Toms, what is your plan for the day?
This tournament, you're just plodding along. I mean, this is a different tournament. You know, it's just you have to stay patient, you got to stay present, and you're just playing for a lot of pars. And this is not a tournament where we have to make a bunch of birdies. You just got to just hang in there with a bunch of pars.
It's interesting. Jim Furyk was pretty much asked the same question, and he came up with plodding. That's going to be plodding along. A lot of plodding going on today. Jerry King, I imagine TaylorMade, that... That's what you got to do, right? Exactly that. You can't be aggressive at a U.S. Open.
Well, exactly. I mean, in any U.S. Open, you know, I mean, it's all about accuracy and good strategy and playing the corners. And he who makes the fewest mistakes has the best chance to win. And Jim Furyk has always been such a quality grinder. I mean, he's got such a strong inner fire. And that guy doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, these guys that are great with their wedge and putter, and he's phenomenal with both of those. Those are the ones that are in the hunt. So, yeah, you're totally right.
I think it's interesting that out of quote-unquote nowhere, I mean, did you hear anybody saying, yeah, I'm pulling for Jim Furyk this week. I think he's going to be at the top of the leaderboard. You know, and that happens during the U.S. Open. You know, all of a sudden he gets his game together. All of a sudden, you know, like he hasn't been working. It's interesting how we look at life, isn't it? So, kids, nothing happens all of a sudden, okay? There's a lot of effort put into this stuff day in and day out, and then you become an overnight sensation. Neil Sagabelle took a little bit of time out of his life and sat down with a very interesting man, and he wrote a book called The Longest Shot. Now, this isn't, you know, the farthest somebody has hit a golf ball. It's not the longest shot like in long... No, it's a long shot. Boy, that was a long shot. Boy, nobody saw that coming. That was the longest of the long shots. And it's all about Jack Fleck and his victory over Ben Hogan at Olympic Club in 1955. But it's more than just about the competition. Welcome to the show, Neil Sagabelle.
Thank you for having me on, Danielle. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And folks can always find you at armchairgolf.com. Is it Armchair Golf Blog?
That's correct.
Armchair Golf Blog. Yes. .com. You can find him. Always great insight into the game of golf with Neil Sagabelle. When I was reading the book, now Jack Fleck was at Olympic Club. He's 91 years old. He did a press conference with Billy Casper. Won at Olympic Club. Did you get a chance to spend some time with him?
I have, and it's been great. In fact, I got into town Sunday night, had dinner with Jack, and I've hooked up with him a few times
during the week. He's here all week.
Was he signing autographs and doing book signings with you? That would have been great.
He did. He did a signing with me on Monday. I did a signing in the merchandise pavilion, and people just really enjoyed coming up and meeting the 1955 U.S. Open champion and speaking with him and getting his autograph. So we had a wonderful time, and I'm really pleased to see that he's getting the recognition that he deserves.
Yeah. A couple of things stood out about him that I think translate really nicely for other people. You know, I think Sergio Garcia should be reading this book. Not that Jack Fleck had a chip on his shoulder and thought the world was trying to get him, or that the ball wasn't going in the cup because the ball was trying to hurt Sergio's chances. It would go in for anybody else, what Sergio would say, but not for me. No, Jack Fleck didn't have that kind of temper. He had an interesting... He would take things out on himself in strange ways. For instance, if he didn't live up to his own expectations of what he was going to do for that particular round, he would just walk off the course, even though he had a really good round. Can you tell us about that moment?
Yeah, early in his tournament golf career, when he was out playing the PGA Tour and the Winter Circuit, he was very... He had high standards for his play, and he really did struggle with his temperament. And he knew that. There's a couple of instances in the book where I talk about that, or I tell little stories about that Jack had shared. One was in 1950 at the Phoenix Open. He was playing well. I think he shot 71-69, and he was in contention. But he was unhappy with his play in the second round. He three-putted a couple of holes coming down the stretch, and he walked off, and he drove home to Iowa. So and then there was another time in I think in 1954 where he got rattled by a tournament official who accused him of cheating, and again he was in contention, but his anger got the best of him, and he just packed up and went home. And so part of the transformation we see with Jack Fleck in The Longest Shot is how he had to get to a place where he could manage his emotions, his temperament, that would free him up to play great golf. Now, I don't think he ever dreamt of winning the Open that year, but his mental composure was a huge factor in his ability to be able to face Hogan and beat him in a playoff, which was an extremely surprising result, as you know.
Oh, so surprising. Jerry King, anytime you have a question, please.
Neil, I was going to say, too, I think you had a fantastic book, and I think you made it come alive, too, when you know, how you did it to where, you know, Hogan's in the locker room and Fleck out on the golf course and going back and forth makes you feel like you were right there, you know, every step of the way. So, you know, great job with the book.
Yes.
Especially for all of us PGA pros out there, him being a Muni pro from Iowa, and, you know, it's what a great story.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, Jack Fleck was, well, a lot of people don't know about him. I think this book more fully tells the story of who he is and how he was able to accomplish this. You know, I'd known about Jack Fleck for years and years, and I never anticipated getting to know him. But as a golf fan, when I read these magazine profiles over the years, I always wondered how he could do it, how he could beat Hogan, who was a four-time U.S. Open champion. So what I found out about Jack is that he was a good player. His peers knew he was a good player. He wasn't known... the public didn't know him that much, and the media didn't, but he could play. And that week, he just happened to putt a little bit better than he normally would, and he liked the Olympic Club a lot. It was playing harder than it is this week. The scores were unbelievable, as you probably know if you've read the book, and he put together the greatest golf of his life that week.
Yeah, he idolized Ben Hogan. And what was interesting in one of the things that I thought, wow, what a tremendous amount of self-confidence he had, he wanted to play Ben Hogan clubs. And this story plays out in the book, and everybody's going, Ben Hogan's not going to let you play those clubs. But so he, even with all that, you know, talk at him, that negative talk, he just went ahead and he went and asked him. And Ben Hogan said, yes, do I remember that correctly?
You're right. No, he wrote a letter in March of 1955 to the Ben Hogan Golf Company after seeing a set of Hogan irons in the pro shop at the St. Petersburg Country Club. And he had idolized Hogan since his late teens. And he's so taken with those clubs. And of course, he idolized Hogan, that he wanted a set of irons. And he thought, well, I'm going to write the Hogan Company and see if they'll make me a set. And his friends on tour, a couple other unknowns by the name of Walker Inman Jr. and Mike Crack, said, Jack, you're crazy. Hogan's not going to make a set of clubs for you. But he went ahead and wrote that letter. And less than 2 weeks later, he got a response from the general manager. And they said, send us your spec. So that began this interesting connection that he had with Hogan, all the way leading up to the Open here at Olympic. And what I found fascinating, too, is that Hogan hand-delivered the wedges in the locker room just a few days before the U.S. Open started here. Jack had already got the 2 through 9. He got those at Colonial in May. He got the 3 and 4 wood at Kansas City, but the wedges weren't done. And of course, Jack Fleck had to qualify to get to the Open. Almost everyone did in those days. And Hogan gives him these wedges on the week of the tournament, and he puts them in his bag. Now, not very many players these days would put a couple of new wedges in their bag a few days before a major championship.
That's amazing. I mean,
that might have been Ben Hogan shooting himself in the foot right there, giving Fleck a boost of confidence and get the new wedges from Ben. I mean, this is it.
The name of the book is The Longest Shot. Neil Sagabell is the author, and I highly recommend it to you. The Longest Shot. Thanks so much for being on the show, Neil.
Thank you for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the Open.
Oh, yeah, truly. We'll be back after this. Jerry King will stay with us, and my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We're with Jerry King. Let me take care of this really quick, Jerry. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. Of course, on the Big Island on the Kohala Coast, you can hear us on Koni. K-O-N-I. Now, the question I have for you, like you said, a huge confidence builder. How many guys today would take a new set of clubs, like wedges or anything, and walk into the U.S. Open, never having actually practiced or worked with them for a while?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's not going to be too many. I mean, because, you know, the qualifier is U.S. Open. There's nothing that you want to be experimenting with. I mean, let alone a golf club or your golf swing or your putting stroke. So, you know, a lot of these guys, let's say two tournaments ago, put in their new wedges and maybe put in a new putter. But, you know, you're not going to see too many the week of a major, especially the U.S. Open, putting in some new wedges. So that was just fantastic. You know, that Fleck took those from Hogan. And, you know, like I said, probably Hogan shooting himself in the foot, giving him not only some good wedges, but a boost of confidence that, hey, I got these from the man.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that would put those clubs in my bag, and I would be walking around going, yeah, I'm playing with Ben Hogan clubs. Yeah.
Yep.
That would
sure
make
enough, didn't he hit one of those wedges in, you know, 7 feet on the last hole?
Yeah.
To be able to make the putt, to be able to get into the playoff with Hogan. So.
Truly amazing. The birdies that he that he made at the end. And everybody, they walked away saying that Ben Hogan was the winner. They didn't even count Jack Fleck as a possibility. So it's a great story, great story. Now tell us the story of TaylorMade. What are you going to be showing us today at Mililani Golf Club?
You know, we have all of the latest and greatest. I mean, the rocket balls have been off the charts. I mean, you know, it's like I've been telling all of my players. I mean, I'm a golf pro. I'm a coach. I'm a teaching professional, much more than I'm a sales guy.
Oh, yes, I know that. You're a PGA, man.
Yeah, come on. And so I look at that and I say, you know what? It's not the hype. I mean, these, the fairway medals, the rescues and the drivers of the rocket balls are off the charts. And one thing that we're doing right now is the driver love with the R11S leading into Father's Day. You know, it's like show your dad some love. And you know, it's like me. I've got the R11S driver for my weapon off the tee, and then I've got the rocket balls, fairways, and rescues, because they're just so long. Fairways are 17 yards longer than last year, and the rescues are 13 yards longer. So, you know, breakthrough this year. It's fun. We've got the new ATV wedges out here. We have all of our putters. We've got all of the irons between the R11 irons and the rocket balls irons. So we're going to have a lot of fun with the people coming out here to Mililani.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to come up and talk to you about their game or need some tips and then maybe can set up a lesson, do you still do that?
You know, I do. I'm doing it much more on an exclusive basis now, except when I'm out here at these demo events, because the way I look at it in life and golf is pay it forward. And you know, before, you know, being the director of instruction at Kapalua, well, you know, everybody's having to pay me for all the instruction. When I get out here at these demo events, that's what I love to do, is to be able to help everybody out with their golf game. And so at the same time, I'm fitting them. I'm trying to give them their magic pearls of, hey, here's what you need to do that's exclusive to you to help your golf game. And then I love being able to see people walk away with not only great golf clubs, but with a big smile on their face, because now they're hitting that power draw instead of the weak fade. So it's fun helping them out.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being on the show with me this morning. It's been a pleasure having you on. We'll have to do like a total instructional show.
Let's do it. I'm ready, Danielle. I'm ready.
Before you go, who's your pick for the U.S. Open?
You know, I have just been crossing my fingers and going, and I got to say it. The guys, I know they were kind of, you know, trashing him a little bit this morning, just saying, does he really have it? And he's kind of been talking himself not only out of the round but out of his game. But Sergio Garcia, no. I'd love to see him go strong today.
Oh.
Him and Justin Rose are a couple of creepers back there that, you know, that I'd love to see come up. And so I'm rooting for those two guys, and then one of those two are going to be my pick to win. If it's not Tiger, Tiger's going to be really hard to beat. I mean, I'm not in denial.
Yeah, no. That's very good. It's good to see. I mean, Sergio, you should send him a note.
Exactly. I'm shooting a text right now. I'm like, come on, Sergio, make me proud.
I'm in favor. I'm a big fan. All right. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. We'll be back soon. We're going to take a break, because coming up, we've got Bob Bupka. Bob Bupka is going to be calling in. And in addition to Bob, we have the Bostache, Alex Maselli. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. It's a beautiful day. Just got word that Alex Maselli will not be able to join us. What a shame. He's so much fun to talk with. He does this great show. It's called On the Range. It's on Golf Channel. And as a result of all of the work that he follows these guys. He spent a couple of holes with me. You know, he gets to go inside the ropes. Ron Cyrak and Doug Ferguson, they actually walk with the players inside the ropes. And we were at the Humana Challenge, and I was walking along. And, of course, I couldn't go inside the ropes because I just had a media pass, and that doesn't get you inside the ropes. So he's walking with me, taking me along. We're talking about what's going on. Bill Clinton is playing. Greg Norman is playing. And he's a very wonderful person. He spends a lot of time. He goes on the range, and he gets to watch the different things, like Jerry King was talking about, the different clubs that the new guys are the old guys, young guys, doesn't matter, they're starting to use the new equipment, and he gets to see what changes they're making to the equipment. And then on the show, On the Range, on Golf Channel, he talks about what he's seeing, and those kinds of insights are wonderful. So we're going to talk to Bob Bupka, because Bob's insights are wonderful. But before we do that, we talked about it with Tiger Woods. We didn't actually talk with him. He was speaking in the media room, and people were asking him questions, and I was lucky to be able to use that audio to give you insights. Tiger Woods talked about his Saturday goal for the day, what his game plan was, basically to plod along, you know, go for the strategy of just getting pars, just making it from one point to another, nothing glorious. And Jim Furyk, and I was surprised at this, he used the same word to describe what he was going to do today, plod along.
Get the ball in the fairway or in a playable spot as best you can. Get the ball on the green or in a playable spot as best you can, and try to make four. And then there's going to be a few places you can attack. You know, you're going to get some wedges in your hand once in a while. You're going to get some accessible pins, and if you can hit a good shot in there, you'll get some opportunities at birdie. But there's times where I'm in the middle of the fairway with a 7-iron in my hand, and I know that 25, 30 feet is the best I can do, and that's where I'm trying to put the ball. So plot, I think, is a good word. You take what the course gives you and play the best you can from there.
It's a great strategy when it's this tough. Just go. And some of the glory shots that we saw yesterday, that Tiger pulled off. Some people said, you know, that's not a very good shot. He shouldn't really be going that way. He should go back, take the five, and then go forward. Well, he didn't. And there was some controversy. I'm going to ask Bob about that. Joining us now, the voice of golf, my good friend Bob Bupka. Welcome to the show.
Danielle, yes. Welcome to you. And, of course, Father's Day weekend, United States Open. Doesn't get much better than this. And And listening to you talk about players plodding along, if you stand on the first tee and you say to every player that gets there, all right, round three, U.S. Open Olympic Club, do you want to be a rabbit or do you want to be a turtle? Everyone will say, make me a turtle, because you got to go slow and easy through these 18 holes. You start rushing and your score will be hitting towards 80 faster than you can blink an eye.
You know, these guys look exhausted. When you see them, they look really, really tired. Not just physically tired, mentally drained.
Well, you know, a couple of them were smart enough to hire me, because being on the air in Europe means I'm on most of the night. And then we were out here at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. We left here at 10:30 at night. So a couple of players said if I would walk by them, as tired as they were, taking one look at me, they would feel refreshed.
Oh, I see. So you're their Energizer Bunny. Just have to look at Bob and go, ah, everything's fine.
Now, I'm the Energizer Bunny, but my batteries went dead.
Can I ask you a question about Tiger Woods?
Certainly.
There were some questions from the Scots and the English. They're watching, and they're watching Tiger, okay? I think it's, all right, so he's on the sixth. You know, the ball was in that bunker, kind of the bunker lip. Well, he wasn't in the bunker. He was standing in the bunker. The ball itself was, like, right on the lip, and he had to take that very strange stance. Very creative, very athletic. It looked very good. Impressive balance. But some people thought maybe he had built himself a stance, which would be a violation of Rule 13-3. A player is entitled to place his feet firmly in taking a stance, but he must not build a stance. Did you feel like he had, you know, pushed up the sand to give him a better chance of being in balance and improve his stance?
Well, it kind of looked like that, and maybe under a microscope that would have been the ruling. It didn't look to me like he was doing anything deliberately. He stepped out and then he stepped back in and he picked his foot up and put it back in. I mean, it was a precarious position, especially when you plug in that he's had four operations on that left knee.
Yeah.
So it was a tough spot for Tiger. And by the way, a very bad break. Had that ball just fallen through that crack it was hanging on, he would have had a relatively easy bunker shot, but I do not think he violated a rule there.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to. Now, which hole? I work. Unfortunately, I don't get to just hang. Well, not that you guys just hang out. I mean, you work hard, and you're busy, and you're constantly focused. But I don't know all of the holes on the Lakes course at Olympic. But there's that one where he hit a beautiful shot onto the green, and it just sort of went down. Was that 17? Went down and then rolled into the. It went way past the green, off the green, into the trees, down the hill. Do you recall that one?
I do. But the situation is this, Danielle. That green sloped severely from left to right. The pin, the whole location, was on the right side. Tiger chose to play a fade into that green. Now, he could have hit on a soft spot and had a miraculous shot, but his ball landed where it was firm with left to right spin combined with the pitch of the green going left to right, and it was very predictable that it was going to end up down there. It looked like a severe penalty when watching it on TV, but in reality, with the left to right spin and that green pitched as severely as it is, it's quite natural for that ball to go down there. What that green is asking players to do is to play a slight draw into the green, take off some of the spin, and try and land it dead. So Tiger knew when that ball was in the air that he was in trouble.
Is that why his face looked that way?
Yes, absolutely.
So in other words, he was pretty much scolding himself.
Yeah, really. He knows. I mean, that's the beauty of an Olympic. You know, it's right there. You know exactly what you have to do. And if you do it according to plan, you can navigate around here fairly successful. You go against the navigational plan, and you get lost real quick.
Okay. Now, I want to, my producer here to there's a really good audio cut that from Tiger Woods when he was describing the wind. I just love it. It's number three, and he's talking about how the wind puffed up.
The wind was puffing up enough where it was changing directions on us. It was swirling a little bit, and you don't want to have swirling winds coming into these greens because it's just, you leave it short on some of these holes and it's running back 40 and 50 yards, and you know, you hit it long, and then you're in the deep rough. So it's tough, and today was one of those days, and I think that guys yesterday had the same conditions we had today, so it's not easy.
So he also talked about how there was a very little water compared to the first day. The first day was pretty dry, too. What are the conditions like today? What are we going to see on television?
Well, you're going to see rock-hard greens, putting like lightning, which is the way the USGA wants them. The fairways are very firm. The rough is very lush. And in reality, we really haven't had wind as a factor over the first 2 days. Tiger said it was swirling a little bit, but Wednesday, I mean, it was blowing 15 to 20 miles an hour here. And I was talking to somebody this morning over breakfast. They've lived here for over 40 years. And he said to me, he has never seen 3 days in a row, meaning Thursday, Friday, and today, with the weather this ideal on this golf course. So the players are realizing how tough it is, but it's still not maxed out, because we get some wind this afternoon. And that's why somebody like Phil Mickelson, Danielle, he's already out on the golf course. It's another 4 hours before the leaders go. Matter of fact, how about Jim Furyk? From the moment he dropped his last putt yesterday, it's going to be 27 hours before he hits his next shot. He could fly to Maui and back three times, or over to Maui and back to Maui in that 27-hour period. So, that's unusual for a player, unless there's weather delays, to go over a day between shots in a major tournament. So that's something he'll have to adjust to. Tiger, very comfortable. He liked the late tee time. He said he'll be able to get some rest. But if you doubt the quality of Olympic, when you look at the leaderboard and three major winners who are on top of the leaderboard, Graham McDowell, an open winner, is just another shot back, only trailing by two shots. So this golf course has done exactly what the USGA had hoped for, and that is identify the best player in the field. And kind of interesting, the history of this place. Strange things have happened at Olympic in 55. Ben Hogan had to leave, finish playing. TV announced Ben Hogan the winner of the 1955 U.S. Open. Well, they forgot about a player by the name of Jack Fleck, who had two holes remaining. He went birdie-birdie, ties Hogan, beats him in a playoff. 1966, nine holes to go. Arnold Palmer leading by seven shots. They were already engraving his name on the trophy. Then he shoots 39. Billy Casper shoots 32. Playoff, Casper wins. 1987, Tom Watson had it won, but Scott Simpson sneaks in. In 1998, Payne Stewart thought for sure he was going to win, and Lee Jansen was holding the cup. But the only thing, and it's my first time back here since 1998, in that runner-up interview, Danielle, with Payne Stewart and his mother, the last thing Payne Stewart said to me, "Bob, I will win the U.S. Open next year in Pinehurst." And lo and behold, he did. 1999, unfortunately, 3 months after that, we lost him in a airplane crash.
That Jack Fleck story is really good. I was talking to the author of this book, The Longest Shot, like a long shot for him to win. And you imagine having everybody say that, Ben Hogan's won, and have the practically engraved the trophy. Did they engrave the trophy? I think they may have engraved the trophy already. And then Jack Fleck wins the playoff at 18 holes.
Let me tell you the horrible part of that story, because I had the honor and privilege of talking with Jack Fleck, and we had him on the grill room, Alex and I, on today's show. He shared with me that the immediate aftermath of that 1955 U.S. Open, all the stories in the papers was about how Hogan lost.
Bob, can we take a commercial break and tease him with that? And come back
sure.
And you tell... Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Bob Bupka, voice of golf and co-host of The Grill Room, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot.
Oh, man. Can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. We're talking with Bob Bupka. He's the voice of golf, co-host of The Grill Room on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. It's every Saturday and on Sunday. And he's telling us about the story, Jack Fleck, who at the end of, well, it was almost the end of the 1955 U.S. Open, Ben Hogan was proclaimed the winner. The only problem was it wasn't really the end, see, because Jack Fleck and several other players were still competing, and Jack Fleck played himself into a playoff with Ben Hogan. Are you back with me? Ah, I think right now Bob may be on another show right now, because Bob is on all over. That's what he was saying earlier. He's on all over the world. He's on in Australia. He's on in London. So we may have to wait just a moment while he finishes that. In the meantime, let's just change subjects completely. I wanted you to hear this, okay? Because you hear so many of the guys on the PGA Tour. They're complaining all the time about the distractions. Okay, fine. A camera going off, that would bother me. I don't like having my picture taken. They're used to that, but it's the noises, right? So I was listening to David Toms, co-leader, and he's, of course, hoping to just get a spot, just improve his play. Actually, his goals were improve my performance and impress the Ryder Cup captain, okay? Davis Love III. That's what I'm going for. He also wants to win. But he's in the midst of all this hoopla over these young guns that are playing, the 17-year-old Hosler, who's in the lead, right? And this is what he had to say about dealing with all the commotion that comes with being near Tiger Woods, which he'll be now this day, certainly, and being around the young guns.
You know, it's pretty funny, some of the stuff we heard in the crowd today, just people yelling and screaming out. I guess they have a right to do that if they buy a ticket. So, you know, it was just kind of funny. The two guys I was playing with, the caddies, were just, if you can somehow be there on, you know, when it's your time to hit, and just kind of play on the crowd the rest of the time and listen to them and what they have to say. It can be quite humorous.
He's so comfortable, isn't he? I mean, it's just wonderful. That's David Toms. He's talking about if you just have to, as long as you're present when you have to hit the shot, I'm going to be here right now. I'm going to do what I got to do. And then just be amused by the rest of those crazy people outside the ropes. Bob Bupka is back with us. Now, I set you up. You know that Jack Fleck played his way in playoff with Ben Hogan. Now, he was on the grill room with Bob Bupka. Tell us the story, Bob.
Well, so I said had to be a lot of benefits, Jack, on winning that 1955 United States Open. He said, well, not really, Bob. He said the reporters were kind of cruel to me, and everybody was saying it was Ben Hogan's U.S. Open, and I was only a driving range pro, and stories like that, he said, which were quite depressing. Matter of fact, my wife read them. I got very depressed and committed suicide.
No.
So, yes. I mean, he didn't share that in the media room, but he felt confident enough with me to say that. He was quite emotional at the time and really made me feel bad. I want to apologize about that little interruption. I was trying to coordinate doing something into London while I was doing something into Hawaii. That's only a span of, about 9,000 miles between the two. But apparently I held the recording. My microphone for London was being held upside down so you couldn't hear it. But and one other thing I must say, and I've been meaning to say this for quite a while now, having worked with you, I truly admire your intelligence. And the smartest thing that you do is that you don't do it with a co-host. So keep it that way, because trust me.
I know where you're going. Come on, right. Alex isn't that bad.
He's out playing golf when the third round of the U.S. Open is taking place.
Oh, so come on. He was supposed to be.
You absolutely know where his priorities are.
He was supposed to be on this show with you for a period of time so we could listen.
You know who he blew you off to go play golf with?
Oh.
Bubba Watson.
Oh, well, that's a pretty big deal, you know.
Well, I said, Alex, you got a chance to be on with Danielle, or you got a chance to go play golf with Bubba Watson. What's it going to be? And he says, I hope I play well.
That's great. I think that is so fantastic. I'm going to get him on the show and make him tell him everything that Bubba told him.
Yeah.
Well,
he won't remember.
He won't remember. I see.
No.
So
Alex slices the ball and Bubba hooks it, so they won't even probably talk to each other for 18 holes.
They'll be on other parts of the golf course. Hey, there's Bubba over there. Yeah, Bubba had it.
Anyway,
yes.
Tiger Woods is probably going to win, Danielle. My long shot prediction before it started was Jason Duffner. He's only 5 shots out of the lead. So
I think
keep an eye on Jason Duffner. I apologize. I have to run.
Oh, okay.
But it's been a lot of fun being on, as always, as we have for, I guess, 13 years now or so. You're the best. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Bob. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show. You're going to, okay, we'll talk later. I want you from the U.S., from the Open, over there in England. Okay, so much for my intelligence quotient just dropped. If you'd like to play a round of golf today, the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, that's formerly known as Luana Hills. I'll stop saying that soon, but it takes a while for people to catch on. Royal Hawaiian has a 10:30, an 11:30, and a 12:36. Ko'olina has a 12:56 and a 2 o'clock. Poipu has a 10:10 and an 11:50. So you should go out and play Poipu, and they've got a great deal right now. They've got a Father's Day sale in their golf shop. It's 30% off all regularly priced men's apparel, okay? That's all weekend long. And they're also doing 50% discount on all regular priced green fees for fathers on Saturday and Sunday. So you got to call the golf shop for the information. It's 742-8711. Okay, I should probably read that again, right? I think so, because that's a really good deal. That's 50% off regularly priced green fees for Father's Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday. That's like right now, okay? Set the DVR, whatever you got to do, and go play some golf. Have some fun. Get out with Dad. I want to thank our sponsors, Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home, for your business, for your concert. Doesn't matter what it is. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need, Hawaii and California. Alakai Mechanical, hey, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. That's all there is, okay? And they do sheet metal too. And so if you need a new roof, if you need gutters or downspouts or AC ducts or a commercial kitchen, you want it custom designed with stainless steel counters? Hey, no problem. Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by those emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship. It's Poipu Bay, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Avancé Salon, color, cut, silkening technology, extensions, manicure, pedicure. Maybe you are conservative or you are avant-garde. It's Avancé. My name's Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.